You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. We are, of course, presented by DraftKings. Love those dudes. Love all of you that support the show in any way that you do. We love you, especially if you check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. More and more people watching the show, which is pretty cool. And then, of course, supporting us on social media, just with a like or a retweet or a comment. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. And of course, Joe is the fantasy gangster at FG_Dolan. And by Joe, I mean the great Joe Dolan from fantasypoints.com. Use that code 23FEAST when you go to fantasypoints.com. It's not too late. It's never too late to get the incredible smorgasbord of information they've got every single week. Their subscription is well worth it just for the fantasy data. Just for, what do you guys call it again, Joe?
The Fantasy Points Data Suite, Ross. Nothing fancy.
Fantasy Points Data Suite.
Yeah, like, we tried to come up with some cute names for it, but that was kind of the one that was just like, why don't we just say what it is? You know, I like it.
That's why I forgot about it. Fantasy Points Data Suite. I couldn't remember exactly how you guys phrase it, but it is awesome. Joe's awesome. And Joe, we got a pretty good Thursday night game. The Dallas Cowboys are hosting the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, and the Seahawks at this point, Ross, are kind of trending to the downward. Obviously, Geno Smith, I don't know how injured he was for that Thanksgiving Day game against San Francisco, but he didn't play a great game. He had just 5.00 adjusted yards per pass attempt. That was his second lowest of the year after that Baltimore game where they got blown out a few weeks ago. They've lost three of their last four. Their only win was a three-point win over the Commanders over that span, losing to the Rams and the 49ers in back-to-back weeks. And the thing about talking about Geno vis-a-vis the 49ers is he has struggled immensely in his four games against the Niners as the Seahawks starter. So it's hard to pin down whether or not it's the injury or just simply the fact that he does not play well against the 49ers. Nonetheless, this is a really important game for the Seahawks, and they're pretty heavy underdogs on the road here. We have to watch the status of Kenneth Walker. As of our recording, he has not practiced yet this week, so it could be another week for Zach Charbonnet. And if you started Charbonnet last week, well, he got the workload. He had the bell cow workload. He just failed to reach 10 PPR points because they had a really difficult matchup against the 49ers. And this matchup, if at all better, is not much better for Zach Charbonnet. I think the Seahawks need Ken Walker's explosiveness because there's something that is just not clicking with the pass game right now. I think DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are more wide receiver two, wide receiver three. You have to keep in mind, if you like Dolan, you know, Tyler Lockett hasn't done a whole lot in recent weeks. Well, guess what? Six teams are on bye this week, and there's some good fantasy teams on bye this week. So you might have no choice but to play these guys. Smith and Jigba, I view him as the same. And if at all possible, I'd try to get a streaming quarterback outside of Geno Smith.
What about the Cowboys, Joe?
Yeah, so if you're looking at DraftKings fantasy points per game over the last six games, Dak Prescott is the highest scoring player in all of fantasy football, and CeeDee Lamb is second. The Cowboys, when they came out of their bye, just kind of narrowed things down and decided, what do we like to do, Ross, on the Fantasy Feast podcast? We like teams that throw the ball to their good players. Well, Dallas doesn't have a ton of depth on the perimeter, but they throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb. They're getting Brandon Cooks a little bit more involved, and Jake Ferguson, unfortunately, had just one catch on Thanksgiving. He's been kind of Dak Prescott's check down guy. So that they've narrowed things down. Tony Pollard's happened to score in two consecutive games, and Dallas is really a team where you have to start Prescott, you have to start CeeDee Lamb, and you have to start Tony Pollard. Like, the role had been great all year, and he's finally scored in back-to-back games. For Jake Ferguson, Brandon Cooks, that just kind of depends where you're at. This is a this is not an awful matchup. It's not a great matchup. The matchup of the week really is Devin Witherspoon in the slot against CeeDee Lamb. Witherspoon's been phenomenal. Obviously, we know CeeDee Lamb's been great for fantasy.
Question for you. What was that stat again? So you're telling me over the last six games, Dak is number one and CeeDee Lamb number two in terms
at
of fantasy
position,
points scored?
Any position, yeah. Normally, like when you say like CeeDee Lamb is number one, you're excluding quarterbacks. No, over the last 6 weeks, he's two and Dak Prescott's one.
Wow. All right, well, I got to pick my stud and value this week for DraftKings for the Thursday night game. I think for my value pick, I'll go with Ferguson since he had a kind of a down game on Thanksgiving. Maybe he bounces back, gets in the end zone. So he's only 4,000 on DraftKings. So give me Ferguson. And then for the stud pick, I guess I'll go, man, CeeDee Lamb's expensive, $8,900. And he's going against Witherspoon. I can't do it. I'll just go Dak, $7,200 for Dak. He's been playing as well as any quarterback out there. I think he'll throw a couple touchdowns, just might not be to CD. Let's get to the next game, Joe. We'll start with some of these Sunday 1 o'clock games. It's the Chargers at the Patriots.
Oh, boy. Two teams that, like, first and foremost, the Chargers. I have trouble with them because, look, Justin Herbert does not have a ton of help right now, and all they do is throw the ball to Keenan Allen. But they can't run the football. And here's a problem. That's the problem for them. They haven't run for 100 non-scramble rushing yards in a game in which Austin Eckler led them in rushing since week one. So they haven't cleared 100 rushing yards in a game in which Austin Eckler was their leading rusher since week one. Now, a large part of those have been because Eckler's injuries, Ross, have piled up on him. I think we all saw the viral video of his long game a couple of weeks ago against the Packers in which his top speed was about 13 miles an hour per Next Gen Stats. And obviously, Ross, as you well know, Jordan Davis, the 340-pound defensive tackle from the Eagles, hit a top speed of about 17 miles an hour when he was chasing down Josh Allen last week. So that shows you where Austin Eckler is right now. But the offensive line for the Chargers has struggled. On this slate, they've opened the third fewest yards per rush attempt on non-scramble rush attempts. And as bad as the season has been for the Patriots, they've been generally solid on defense. They haven't allowed 100 non-scramble rushing yards since week five. So this is going to be another tough sledding for Austin Eckler and the Chargers. If I'm looking at the Chargers, you probably have a very difficult time sitting Justin Herbert this week. You probably have a difficult time sitting Eckler. But as you've seen with Eckler, if Eckler does not get checkdowns or touchdowns, he is not coming through this year for fantasy. There is a whole lot working against him, and this matchup really isn't all that great.
What about when the Patriots have the ball? I mean, is there a single solitary Patriot? I mean, there are six teams on byes.
Ramondre. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be. Pop Douglas. He ended up leading them in receiving, but he's probably more of like a deep league guy. Oh, I need to start this guy. That's really fine. But the Patriots are one of those dead teams right now that I really don't want to worry about. The fact that Ramondre Stevenson has played well despite his circumstances is pretty impressive, though.
We'll move on to the Lions and the Saints. Lions are not playing great, especially on defense, I'd say, Joe.
Yeah, their defense has not been very good. But here's the problem. Who's catching the ball for the Saints this week? Mike Thomas is on IR. Rashid Shaheed is not going to play with his quad injury. Chris Olave is in concussion protocol, and this is Chris Olave's second documented concussion. So it's entirely possible the Saints do not have a healthy wide receiver worth a damn in this game. So there's a couple of players I want you to look at in the event that you're really struggling with bye weeks this week. Juwan Johnson, the tight end for the Saints, who's a former college wide receiver, so he might have to play a little wide receiver in this game simply for the Saints to have bodies out there. And then, of course, A.T. Perry, the rookie wide receiver out of
Wake Forest.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought there. The rookie wide receiver, he's a big guy, scored a touchdown a couple of weeks ago with Jameis Winston at quarterback. A.T. Perry might be a guy who, hey, look, Derek Carr, The guy is unbelievable between the 20s, and then when he gets to the red zone, he vomits all over himself. This has been a theme since he was a Raider. But the Lions defense has struggled against the pass. I think you can go out there, and if you need him, get A.T. Perry in your lineup, and he might be, both he and Juwan Johnson, might be good money savers in DFS this week if you want to fit some other studs into your lineup.
What about on the other side when the Lions have the ball?
Well, the Lions are fortunately a fantasy team that is just still fantastic. I mentioned this last week, Ross. It remains true this week. The Lions are still mauling teams on the ground. Their yards per carry, yards before carry per rush attempt over the last 5 weeks is by far the highest among teams on the Week 13 slate. The offensive line has been great. They do have an injury with Jonah Jackson. And, of course, they were attracting pressure for Jared Goff last week against Green Bay. But the run game still had a ton of success, 125 non-scramble rushing yards. Meanwhile, the Saints just got destroyed on the ground by the Falcons for a season-most 187 non-scramble rushing yards. The Saints' decimated receiving core, as I just mentioned, should at minimum keep this game close enough for the Lions to hand the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery a lot. They have our number one trench grade on the run game at Fantasy Points Data this week. I have no reason to believe that Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs won't continue to get the ball a whole lot in this game.
We move on to the Falcons at the Jets. But before we do, I let you know you can get tickets to this game. I'm sure there's plenty available. It's a Jets home game. On the Game Time app, what I love about it is that you can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You can buy your tickets in seconds with two taps. And of course, the Game Time guarantee, that means you'll always get the best price. So if you find tickets in the same section or row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code FEAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, so again, create an account and redeem code FEAST, FEAST, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Joe, any guarantees for me in this Falcons-Jets game?
Well, I guarantee the Jets are going to suck. That's what I guarantee in this game. What a disaster. I mean, Breece Hall is their best offensive. Well, Garrett Wilson's probably their best offensive player.
Joe, on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on Tuesdays, I do power rankings, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even remember where I had the Jets. But no matter what team they are or where they're ranked, I say something. And I got to the Jets, and I couldn't even think of what to say anymore. And I just paused for like 3 seconds, and then Jack and I both just started laughing because it's the first time in power rankings history I legitimately did not know what to say about a team.
Look, Ross, I wish I didn't have to say anything about them right now, but I actually have stats if you want to talk about how crappy they are.
Go for it.
Their run game, if you're starting Tim Boyle at quarterback, which is coaching malpractice, by the way, if you're starting Tim Boyle at quarterback, you're going to need to run the football. But here's the problem: the Jets haven't run for more than 60 non-scramble rush yards since week 5. And the reason we use non-scramble rush yards at Fantasy Points Data is it takes out a lot of the noise, like, hey, oh, there was a scramble here, you know, because they rushed three and had a bunch of coverage in the back, and the quarterback took off and ran for 35 yards untouched, okay? That doesn't really tell you how good a team's run defense is. It's more of their quarterback contain. So that's why we use non-scramble rush yards. Well, the Jets haven't run for more than 60 non-scramble rush yards since week 5, and they have precisely zero explosive runs over that span. Zero. They do not have a single non-scramble run of 15 or more yards. Breece Hall is a big playmaker in the run game, and even he can't get going in the run game. The run game's a disaster. Their quarterback play is a disaster. Their offensive line is a disaster. And now Aaron Rodgers, who's managed to hold the attention of the nation. He doesn't want the attention, but he's managed to hold the attention of the nation.
Yeah, for right.
13 weeks right now. Finally, he goes on his program there, and he's like, oh, it depends on the playoff status. Dude, your team's playing Tim Boyle right now. You're not coming back this year. Pack it up. Put it back for next year. The Jets suck.
How about the Falcons, Joe? I like the way the Falcons play. I saw Algier running hard. Cordero Patterson wasn't messing around. And I know it's probably not great for fantasy, but I have a healthy respect for the manner in which the Falcons play a lot of these games.
Well, the reason it's not great for fantasy is because their quarterback play is subpar. You know, Ross, I'm a Formula One fan. You said you don't get it. I think a lot of the people who got into Formula One because of the Netflix show a couple of the years ago, and they had the great all-time title race between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton a couple years ago. And then since then, Max Verstappen's just basically dominated the sport, and everybody's like, oh, this sucks. Well, Max Verstappen drives the best car. He's an excellent driver, but he also drives the best car in the history of Formula One, the Red Bull 19. The Atlanta Falcons have built the Red Bull 19 on offense with Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson, and their driver is Nikita Mazepin. I know you don't get that reference, but at least one person listening to this podcast will. They don't have decent quarterback play. Ritter's better than Heinicke. I'm glad we got a chance to see Heinicke, and all right, Arthur Smith made the right decision to go back. But Ritter's better than him. But really, the only consistent player here for fantasy is Bijan Robinson. And then you expect, you know, this secondary is going to be good. You know, Sauce Gardner, you know, he doesn't match up, but he'll see a lot of Drake London in this game. So not a great matchup for London. But last week, Bijan Robinson was third among running backs at 27.3 DraftKings fantasy points. Only Kyren Williams and Christian McCaffrey scored more. And that was immediately following a season high in carries before the bye. Here's the other thing about Bijan Robinson. He got all of their red zone opportunities when this game was close last week. And they brought in Tyler Algier to close, and that's kind of what Arthur Smith, oh, he's a good closer. Well, Bijan Robinson was their bell cow. He obviously scored the receiving touchdown where Ritter just kind of threw it up to him against the blitz, and he was wide open. Bijan Robinson is an RB1 for fantasy, finally.
Joe, let's talk Cardinals at the Steelers. The Steelers, over 400 yards. They had explosive plays. Probably just a coincidence that it was the first game without Matt Canada.
Yeah, it was the first game since they hired Matt Canada that they had. And then also the first game since they fired Matt Canada that they had 400 yards of offense. And, I don't think it was anything, ridiculous. It's just that they rediscovered that the middle of the field exists. You know, there's a lot of space there, you know? Pat Freiermuth dominating against the two high looks. And look, here's the other thing about Kenny Pickett. Not only did he throw the ball better than he has all year, this wasn't Ross like check down city. This wasn't like what the Bears did against the Vikings on Monday night where they're like, you know, we're just going to get easy completions for our quarterback. Kenny Pickett was throwing the ball down the field. The throw he had to Deontay Johnson on the skinny post in the end zone that was eventually, I guess, dropped. They ruled it a non-touchdown. Might have been the best throw I've ever seen Kenny Pickett make. So there was a level of confidence here that they were operating with. Nonetheless, I still think the best matchup for the Steelers in this game is in the run game. Najee Harris ran angry last week. He had a season-high 99 rushing yards, and he actually had 100 before he lost 1 yard on his final carry. So he almost got you that DraftKings bonus. Over the last three games, the Steelers have their three highest non-scramble rush yards total on the season, and that all coincides with the insertion of rookie right tackle Broderick Jones into a permanent role in the offense. Meanwhile, the Cardinals just allowed a season-high 226 non-scramble rush yards to the Rams and Kyren Williams, of which over 4 yards per attempt came before contact. This is a great week for Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. A phenomenal week for those guys. I don't know, what people are going to do with Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson's body language was atrocious in that game, but he should probably suck it up and get over it because the Steelers are showing signs of life without Matt Canada at offensive coordinator.
Arizona on the other side, that was kind of disappointing to me.
Yeah, they're just not a very good team. You know, Kyler's playing all right. I don't think anybody's going to say he's not. They just don't have a ton of talent. Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, back-to-back brutal matchups. He caught 6 of 12 targets for 88 yards against the Rams last week, which actually isn't that bad considering how bad the matchup was. The Rams ranked best in the league in schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to outside wide receivers. So what that means is we take the performance of wide receivers against everybody else, and then we take their performance against the Rams. And outside wide receivers, receivers who predominantly line up outside, average 10 fewer fantasy points per game against the Rams than they do against all other teams. Well, here's good news for Hollywood Brown. The Steelers are second worst defensively in that same stat. So I think this is a good matchup for Hollywood Brown. James Conner, unfortunately, he was splitting work in that backfield last week. Played fewer than 50% of the snaps. I don't know if I want to read too much into that, but James Conner, his role has shrunk where he's more of an RB2, but I think this is a good week for Hollywood Brown this week.
Feeling good about your fantasy draft picks, but not sure what to eat? Make it easy on yourself. Order in on DoorDash. Now you can root for your squad while your food and drinks are on the way. Yeah, that means burgers, chips, dip, soda, pizza, wings, and so much more delivered straight to your door. I actually had a delicious cheeseburger last night. Got to have something to wash it down. It's Labatt Blue Light. Drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends, family, by yourself, watching football, setting your fantasy lineups. Live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Colts at the Titans, Joe. We got big news here with Jonathan Taylor out with this thumb surgery.
Yeah, but Zach Moss, I mean, come on down. Like, Zach Moss was excellent early in the season, and this is just an example of bad luck, because I know a lot of folks, with Jonathan Taylor coming back, you know, before the bye, they had the game in which Jonathan Taylor had all but one opportunity in the backfield, and then in the second half, he's playing fewer snaps, and we didn't really know what was wrong. Well, it turns out the thumb was a problem for him. With Taylor out this year, in his first four games of the season, Zach Moss averaged 22.3 carries, 2.5 targets, and 22.2 fantasy points per game on an 83% snap share. Bell cow numbers across the board. There is an opportunity for Zach Moss this year to potentially be the league-winning running back, and we'll get to Kyren Williams. But Zach Moss could be the league-winning running back, and all because Jonathan Taylor broke his thumb. Unfortunately, there was a league where I dropped him. I did not have enough fab to get him back. I picked him up on waiver priorities in other leagues. Zach Moss is a slam dunk RB1 this week.
Wow. All right, what about dunk. The Titans offensively?
Well, let's take a look at the spread in this game, because Derrick Henry has been so much better in his career in games in which the Titans were favored. And last week against the Panthers was no different. He scored 2 short rushing touchdowns. They were able to stick with it. This game is essentially a pick 'em. The Colts are 1-point favorites. That indicates that this should be a close enough game for Derrick Henry to get a lot of work. It indicates that this should be a game in which Derrick Henry is the focal point of their offense. But as you well know, he struggled against the Colts back in week number 5 with just 13 carries for 43 yards. I feel like this is the kind of game where you have to put Derrick Henry in your lineup, though, because it's close enough where he should be able to score points. DeAndre Hopkins played, by the way, last week, a season-low snap share. I think the injuries have been coming and going with him. He's had a solid year, but last week, against the Panthers, just 3 catches for 49 yards. He played 57% of the offensive snaps. That's coming off the heels of a game in week 11 in which he played 63% of the offensive snaps. That is not a guy who is a slam dunk fantasy wide receiver at this point.
Dolphins are playing the Commanders, Joe. What do we need to know about this one?
Miami finally got going, fortunately. with Jalen Waddle in that game. Let's also keep an eye on the status of Devon Achane. But no quarterback in football has dropped back more than Sam Howell so far this year, and the Commanders are 9.5-point home underdogs. So Sam Howell, our fantasy points DFS team has been arguing back and forth is, what do we do here with Sam Howell? Do we line up everything with Sam Howell, or do we try to figure out a way to start a DFS lineup without Sam Howell in it? I expect that the Commanders are going to throw the ball all over the field in this game, and the Dolphins are going to do what they do. Get the ball to Tyreek, get the ball to Waddle, get the ball to Raheem Mostert. We'll see about Devon Achane.
I just get the ball to Joe Dolan every episode of the show. That's so nice. We do it twice. Six more games to break down in episode 2 of the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Feast. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.